Listen only mode.
Hello, everyone. Francis Donald here, sitting in for Michael Robbins, who's traveling at this time. So we're up to the third pre-full moon meditation webinar. This one focuses on the specific Gemini keynote of contact with a generic keynote of dedication. And so I'll read one quote for the talks about dedication and then a few on contact before we actually get underway with our meditation. So this one talks about, I think this was written specifically for the WASOC, but it equally applies to this full moon. By the way, all the images, as I mentioned before, are from either Nicholas or Svetislav Rorik. And I'm trying to switch out as many as I can for each webinar so you can see new images. So we have a bunch of new images today. Okay, from Esoteric Psychology Volume 2, we have this quote. For 2 days prior to the full moon, we will hold the attitude of dedication and service and seek to assume that attitude of receptivity to that which our soul will impart, which will make us of use to the hierarchy. The hierarchy works through groups of souls, and the potency of this group work is to be tested out. These groups, in their turn, contact and feed the waiting, dedicated, attentive personalities. On the day of the full moon, we attempt to hold ourselves steady in the light. We will not formulate to ourselves what will happen, nor will we look for results or for tangible effects. Okay. The next three quotes are concerning the specific keyword of Gemini, of this third day of Gemini, and that keyword is contact. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, by dint of strenuous effort and due attention to rules laid down, the aspirant succeeds in touching matter of a quality rarer than is his usual custom. He contacts his causal body. In time, he contacts the matter of the Buddhic plane. By means of this touch, his own vibration is temporarily and briefly quickened. When the two blend, the stimulation is greatly increased and the ability to touch intensified. The law of attraction persists in its work until another fire is attracted and touched, and the threefold merging is completed. DK equates the sense of touch with contact. Okay, and this from the Reappearance of the Christ. All the world avatars or saviors, however, express two basic incentives: the need of God to contact humanity and to have relationship with men, and the need of humanity for divine contact, help, and understanding. Subject to these incentives, all true avatars are therefore divine intermediaries. They can act in this fashion because they have completely divorced themselves from every limitation, from all sense of selfhood and separativeness, and are no longer, by ordinary human standards, the dramatic center of their lives, as are most of us. When they have reached that stage of spiritual decentralization, they themselves can then become events in the life of our planet. Toward them, every eye can look and all men can be affected. Therefore, an avatar or Christ comes forth for two reasons. One, the inscrutable and unknown cause prompts him so to do. And the other is the demand or the invocation of humanity itself. An avatar is consequently a spiritual event coming to us to bring about great changes or major restorations, to inaugurate a new civilization, or to restore the ancient landmarks and lead man nearer to the divine. And finally, from Esoteric Psychology, there is to be found today in the realm of the intuition much of wonder that can be contacted. It is now the privilege of the race to contact that rain cloud of knowable things to which the ancient seer Patanjali refers in his fourth book. The race, through its many aspirants, can today precipitate this rain cloud so that the brains of men everywhere can register the contact. Hitherto, this has been the privilege of the illumined and rare seer. In this way, the new age will be ushered in, and the new knowledge will enter into the minds of humanity. Okay. So, find yourself a comfortable spot to sit and calm the physical body. Withdraw your consciousness from the personality and its vehicles, first from the astral, physical astral, up to the mental, calming each in turn, calming the mind. And finally, enter deeply into the presence of the soul. Feel yourself established as a soul within the field of light, love, and spiritual power. Now let us merge ourselves as a souls, as souls, into a deep sense of the group soul. That could be this gathering, the Moria Federation, or groups that you are part of in your own lives. Now let us imaginatively unite in song with the spiritually minded people of the world and with men and women of goodwill. Now let us visualize our group soul merging into the one soul of humanity and realize that there is no my soul and thy soul. Deeply realize not is but me. Now let us collectively imagine a potent point of tension fed by the will aspect of the group soul. And in accordance with your soul ray gathered at the mental unit and forming the foundation of the Antahkarana, visualize the root at the mental unit. You can use the colors as you see them here, or indigo if you don't know your soul ray, and project upwards towards the monastic permanent atom. And from that monastic permanent atom, project again your dual colored individual Antahkarana up to the Buddhic and further yet to the Atmic permanent atoms of the spiritual triad. Now let us imagine our individual antarkaranas merging with a group antarkarana, which is colored with all the seven ray colors, but primarily with the deep indigo blue of the second ray. Both your individual and the group antarkaranas reaching into the realms of the spiritual triad. Attempt to deeply feel this connection to the spiritual triad. Now let us inwardly and in continued identification with the group soul affirm the great word of power, I see the greatest light, as we imaginatively project a line of vivid, living, white light up into triadal realms along the individual and group antarkaranas. And from an established point of individual and group tension, it begins on the mental plane. In the presence of this great light of the spiritual triad, let us attempt to feel the presence of the great white brotherhood, the Lodge of Masters, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Now let us inwardly and with heartfelt gratitude offer our salutations to the masters and to the head of the hierarchy, the Christ. Salutations to the Buddha, Lord of Light and Wisdom. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all masters. Salutations to the triangle of masters with whom we work most closely. Salutations to the Master Moria. Salutations to the Master Kun. Salutations to the Master Dual. Salutations to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Now let us imaginatively raise our thoughts to Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known. And with deepest reverence and in all humility, let us attempt, identified as a group soul, to attune with the presence of Sanat Kumara standing at the center of Shambhala. Let's collectively sound a long, silent om as we imagine the group imbued with his energy. Realize that Shambhala is the planetary center through which the energies of the constellations and the planets initially enter according to the law of assembly, especially for moon opportunities, to be distributed to all sentient beings upon the earth. Now let us align briefly with the spiritual qualities emanating from the three planetary rulers of the sign Gemini. Mercury, the exoteric ruler, revealing the nature of the pairs of opposites. Venus, the esoteric ruler, uniting the pairs of opposites. And finally, the Earth, the hierarchical ruler, the field of service. Now let us raise our imaginative group consciousness to the solar logos, expressing itself through our sun and the solar system. Let us attempt to feel the great second ray of the solar logos, the God of love, wisdom, is pouring through all planets, Shambhala, and every monad, soul, and personality on planet Earth. Now let us move outward beyond the solar system and focus our imaginations on the constellation Gemini, radiating the light of inner play. This is a line of light beams revealing that which opposes or the basic duality of manifestation, the relationship of spirit and form. It is the conscious light of that relationship. Let us open ourselves to feel the energy quality of Gemini, attempting to realize its profound relationship to the second ray of love, wisdom, indeed the source in our solar system of this ray, and the Mercury, Venus, and Earth to the fourth, fifth, third, and second rays respectively. 4-3 Venus. I mean, 4-3 Mercury, 5-3 Venus, 3-3 Earth, and 7-3 Gemini. Now we look at the alignment between three forces, forces of reconstruction, of restoration, and of enlightenment. So let us, as a group, attempt to realize the connection of the Gemini energy to the forces of reconstruction, making possible the rebuilding of human civilization and the planet, according to the plan indicated by the forces of restoration. The entire process pursued in an illumined manner within the light shed by the forces of enlightenment. Ponder deeply now on the meaning of the mantra for Gemini. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. And let us attempt to grasp the esoteric meaning and significance of this mantra. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. Now let us focus our meditative attention on the Christ and the Buddha, realizing their brotherhood as they represent the West and the East and the spiritual union of these two hemispheres. Attempt to realize the manner in which they stand for the constellation Gemini, the brothers in the light. Now let us ponder on the following words in the last sermon of the Buddha. And so also, when he thinks, or reasons, or feels, Let him so regard his thought that, being strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful, he may, whilst in the world, overcome the grief which arises from the cravings due to ideas, or to reason, or to feeling. Affirm in yourself the fact that you can be strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful in the overcoming of the grief which arises from the craving due to ideas, or to reasoning, or to feeling. Embrace and resolve to be so. With profound gratitude to the Buddha for all he has done to illumine humanity, we now refocus our attention on the Christ. On each of the 3 days of preparation prior to the full moon, the Christ is said to speak the great invocation alone. With the utmost heartful attentiveness of which we are capable, let us listen inwardly, imagining that we hear the Christ sounding the great invocation. Let us allow a period for this silent absorption of his sounding. Again, while listening inwardly with great care, let us imagine the Christ and the entire hierarchy intoning the third stanza of the Great Invocation. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. Let us contemplate the deep significance of these words. Now let us imagine the will of God pervading humanity and the entire planet. Let us visualize together a human race empowered by the will to good, expressed as goodwill, and our planet beginning to express its monad of will and power, which lies behind its great second ray soul. On each of the 3 days before the day of the Gemini full moon, Christ and his hierarchy are said to emphasize a distinct keynote. Let us, in imagined concert with the Christ and the spiritual hierarchy, contemplate the third keynote described by Master DK as follows. The keynote of contact, of a closer relation between Christ and his people, between the hierarchy and humanity. Let us envision that we all and all human beings will come into ever closer relation with the Christ and his hierarchy. Let us imagine that the reality of this contact will bring, in terms of expression, of the will to good upon our planet. We open ourselves to impression and attempt to feel deeply that this contact is already a fact on the planes of the soul and spiritual triad. We affirm our solidarity with the Buddha, the Christ, and the assembled hierarchy. We seek to identify with them and to merge our purpose with their purpose. Let us now imaginatively merge with them and together bless the world in silence. Let's pause now for a moment of appreciation or the illumined loving energies of the constellation Gemini, and feel ourselves imbued with these energies, which are growing in strength as the full moon approaches. Now, as if in union with the Christ, the hierarchy, and all his disciples in the world, let us sound together the third stanza of the Great Invocation, sensing that it is the will of God that Shambhala, the Christ, hierarchy, and humanity may come into true and real contact and may thereby cooperate in the redemption of our planet. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. Well, thank you all for attending today. We'll have one more meditation webinar, the pre-full moon webinar tomorrow. And I hope to be with you all tomorrow for that pre-full moon webinar. So until then, thanks very much for coming, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.